I have a beef that I'm going to get off my chest. All right. That's coming up on the Chirp with Darren Millard, along with conversations with a couple of the young, fun, and super skillful players in the National Hockey League. Cale Makar, who's won everything except for the Hart Trophy. And I wouldn't doubt that that's coming. And then Trevor Zegras, who's the poster boy of the NHL on video games. And we get into it. By the way, don't get jealous, but Trevor's my new buddy. It's the Chirp with Darren Millard.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
Huzzah! Oh, how'd that feel, old man? That's a disgrace! That's a disgrace! What a joke! I'm gonna run you. I'm just waiting for my shift.
I don't know what's going to happen to the green room today. It's the Chirp with Darren Millard. Thanks for being with us. We got a couple of kids in there. And it's Trevor Zegras and Cale Makar. And same age, two young guys with totally different hobbies and present day focuses than me. Like, I don't have all kinds of video games set up in there. And that's what they do. After all, Trevor Zegras is the poster boy of NHL 22. He's on there. We'll talk to him about whether or not he had to approve the picture that they used on the cover. I've got that beef that I want to get off my chest. Also, a little bit about what's happening in and around the National Hockey League with Phil Kessel establishing the new Ironman streak. I have a question for you that I will offer my opinion and then you can fire back at it. But we'll start with Cale Makar, who's won it all as a defenseman in the National Hockey League and got to spend his day with the cup, which was one of those afternoons that you will never forget. What would you put in the cup? Cale answers it here. Day with the Stanley Cup. I love going down this path. I'm sure you've talked about this at length to people, but what was your one priority that day?
My one priority was kind of, it was tough. I felt like the one thing that was first plan was taking to the minor hockey rink, which is Crowchild in Calgary. And then after that, just being able to spend some quality time with very close family and friends and basically just enjoy the presence of the cup because it's not every day you have it in your backyard. So probably those two things.
What did you put in it?
So morning, had some pancakes out of it for breakfast and then just some drinks out of it. I think some champagne out of it at our barbecue. That's about it.
Would you dip the cup in and then take a sip out of the cup or like a glass? Or would you drink it right out of the cup?
Yeah, right out of the cup. Just had to give the cousins and the friends some experience to do that. So definitely drink it out of the cup.
What about Grandma?
Oh, yeah. Grandma,
yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Right out of the cup?
Yeah, Grandma had to drink out of the cup, too. So
tell me there's a picture of that.
Oh, yeah, there is. It's amazing. So
That's outstanding. And is it down to the wire, like how much you get with the Stanley Cup?
Pretty much. Like you can kind of, I think, grab it whenever you want. At a reasonable time in the morning. So, we got it at 8 o'clock, and then basically they take it right at midnight, and that's it.
Did you have to shut anybody down who tried to do something or tried to put something in the cup?
No, they were pretty good. Like, the cup handlers kind of handle all that stuff if somebody... Because nobody's allowed to pick it up other than people that have won it. So, if somebody tried to... I had it on the ground, and somebody tried to move it once, and they got a little mad at them. So,
really?
Yeah. They don't... I mean, they're pretty strict with that type of stuff, so yeah. They... I mean, that's why it's one of the hardest trophies to win. It's a pretty strict standard. So,
which one of your buddies, because we'll give him a shout-out here, would be most likely to screw that up and try to do something with the cup?
Oh, man. I'd probably go my cousin. My cousin, Mark, he'd probably be the one to mess something up.
Was he the one that got in trouble?
No, he wasn't. I don't know who it actually was. I just heard the story that I wasn't there. It was at our... maybe at our party at night, and they tried to just, like, rotate it on the table, and they were like, no, you can't do that.
What's your... Do you have a house in Denver?
I do now, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Is that where you got the trophy case man cave built?
No, I got nothing yet.
Where are all the trophies?
They're up in Calgary, I think. I haven't...
think?
Yeah, well, I sent them up to Calgary. So I think they're just chilling there. I'll probably get something down the road sorted out, but they're just all hanging out.
So at this very moment...
Yep.
Do you know where the Norris Trophy is? Like the... Little replica.
The replica, I think it's in Calgary, at my parents' house. I think it's I think it's out of the box because I don't think I'll probably get them to bring it down at some point, but it's just chilling at home right now.
How many extra places do you have built?
None.
Really?
Well, you don't want to make some room, but you're not putting extra cases in until you actually win them. That'll be the fun. Then you build the extra case, maybe. I don't know. That'd be my opinion, at least.
I heard from Nathan McKinnon that when you broke into the league, you may not have known what sarcasm was.
No, I feel like my sense of humor is sarcasm. So yeah. Maybe he just didn't understand my sarcasm, but he's. I also didn't understand his sarcasm yet because he was a very intense guy. So I never knew when he was joking or when he was being serious. So it took me a little while to read him, but I think I got it down to a science now.
Was it awkward reading him? Like you just sit back and go, what's going on? Does he like me? Does he?
Yeah, I think most times I thought he was like being pretty serious with me. And then I realized that, a lot of his, it's a little jokes or sarcasm. So, I think I got it dialed in now, though.
When you look at your style of play, what's the favorite, if you were going to watch you as a fan, what's the thing that you would love about it?
I think when I watch the game, I always love just looking for guys with hockey sense. I think that's such a big quality to have nowadays and something that sticks out in most players that have it. I mean, you look at all the great D-men right now, Hedman, Yossi, Heiskanen, and all the young guys coming up. It's pretty incredible, so probably that.
Who's your favorite defenseman to watch?
I would probably say Yossi or Hedman, I think.
What do you like about them?
I think for both of them, I've touched on this a lot, just the consistency that they bring every single night, and that's why they're considered the best, because they've year in, year out, they have the exact same. Hedman's been up for the Norris Trophy, whatever, the last 3 to 5 years, and he deserves it because he's so consistent every year and does everything so well. And
Beat him out, so it's okay.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but definitely those guys.
You mentioned hockey sense and consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Those are boring. What about shot? What about skating? What about body checks?
I'd say, I mean, skating probably. I feel like for fans, the physicality aspect is definitely fun. So everybody's got a little bit of the physicality in their game, but it's definitely nice to see a little bit more of that.
Is it more physical than we as announcers think?
How physical do you think it is?
Well, I look at 20 years ago and I go, this not even close.
Oh, it's compared to what it was like when we were in COVID. I was watching all those like the old reruns of like the hockey, like in the 80s and 90s, and like some of the stuff going on back then is like just crazy. So in my mind, I'm like, wow, it's the game's changed quite a bit, but it's definitely a lot more speed orientated now and skill wise, and then like I said, hockey sense rather than the kind of big brute guys just going around slashing people's hands. So,
like, how many times would you cross-check somebody in front of the net to move them?
That's the thing. Like, you're not cross-checking anymore. It's more just, like, pushing or moving, like, with your stick on their back rather than just giving them a massive wind-up of a cross-check nowadays.
It'd be fun, though, wouldn't it?
Like, I mean, it like, would be fun.
Turn around and hammer somebody?
It would be fun. If they want to bring that stuff back in, I won't oppose it. I'm not in front of the net, so it's fine by me.
Did your goal total surprise you last year?
I think it's an open-ended question. I think maybe like a little bit. Obviously, it's not something that I look to do or focus on, as I don't have the goal of scoring 25, 30 goals. I just kind of want to be consistent for my team, and I think those goals will come. And we had the unfortunate events last year where a lot of injuries and stuff. So Nate was out for a while. Lannis Cog was out for a while. So guys were stepping up. So in that essence, maybe some of our D, we had a little bit of extra puck time on the ice and stuff like that. But for me, in terms of goal total, it's not something I look at. But,
Can you go coast to coast whenever you want? Like, do you have the green light to go coast to coast whenever you want?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's on the best teams. You have to give players the freedom to be the player that they're capable of being or use the creativity. And I think for us, our coaching staff especially does a great job of managing systematic stuff with the individual aspects of the game, and whether it's Nate or Miko just being able to be creative, or Nate taking it off the rush. But when stuff does break down, you still have that systematic or the systems they'll fall back on. So
Paul Coffey told me one time that's how Grant Fuhr got 14 assists one season. It's because he would just pick up the puck behind the net and go down the ice.
There you go.
Speaking of Paul,
He was here. I'm based out of Vegas.
Yep.
He was here for the NHL All-Star Game. And unprompted, he talked about you and how big of a fan he is of you. Mm-hmm. Have you met Paul?
I haven't, no. I mean, obviously, I touched on watching the some of the games from the 80s and 90s there. And obviously, in my mind, when I watch those, you see a lot of like the Oilers and Flames games. And he was just, he was on a completely different level than everybody else in terms of skating-wise. And it was like the first time I remember watching it during that COVID break, I kind of looked at my dad. I'm like, is this like, who is this? Like, I knew it was like Paul Coffey, but I didn't realize that like he was that much of a step up from what it looked like other guys and skating wise. So it was pretty cool.
Who are you cheering for, Calgary or Edmonton back in the day?
Oh man, I'm from Calgary, so I was definitely in Calgary.
I wasn't sure with it, like Edmonton was really good. Well,
yeah,
no, that was after.
I was alive for the Calgary 04 Cup run, so I was obviously very young, 5 or 6 years old probably. So
this year, expectations. Do you feel like you're should be seeded number one, the favorites to do that?
Yeah, I think so as a team. I mean, we feel that we have the capability of doing it again. Obviously, we lose some pieces in Kemper and Kadri, but we bring in Gorgiev, and he's already looking unreal in our skates and stuff, so high hopes for him. And I hope, obviously, you need a goalie, and we have a great tandem in Francouz and Gorgiev now, so it'll be exciting to see what they can do. And then obviously, we just signed Rodriguez, so it'll be interesting. He'll give us a lot of depth. And then we were able to get back Val and Lekkonen, and those are two guys that just hardworking guys that are never going to give up on the puck. So it's exciting. I think we brought back all the pieces that we were able to, and I think we know that we have the capability of doing it again. It's just putting everything together.
What's your favorite suit of Bednar's?
Oh, man, he's got so many. I feel like he's got a green, like, three-piece suit, maybe, that he wears sometimes. I feel like he always thinks he looks good in that one, so maybe that
one.
See
the red one, like the wine one?
Yeah, maybe that one. That's what I'm thinking of.
I
don't know.
But what's he like?
Yeah, he's kind of your, I feel like, modern-day coach. Like, I touched on how, coaching-wise, he gives everybody the freedom to kind of play the game in the style that they want inside of their systems. And then in terms of just personality-wise, he's a very calm individual. Like, you don't see him yelling very much on the bench, and I think for a player, it gives a lot of reassurance. If you have people behind you that are always calm, then it's just going to transfer over to the players. And I really like the way he coaches, and in terms of his personality, just having that calm aspect of it and never panicking. So,
will the regular season be kind of hard to get your head around after going through all of that in the Stanley Cup final and the championship?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like for me, once we kind of finished those celebrations of whatever it was a week or so after, it kind of flipped the switch and started looking forward to next season. I think you can't lose that sense of competitiveness, and once you lose that edge, that's kind of when everything starts to go downhill. So you try and maintain that for as long as you can. And I've touched on this, but we're fortunate enough on our team to have so many guys that just have that innate competitiveness in them, whether it's MacKinnon or Landeskog, guys that show up to the rink every day and push other guys to get better. So I think in that essence, I think even this year, I feel like we're looking stronger going into the season. So,
major, minor, or let it go? This is a little game that we play.
Mm-hmm.
You're the referee.
Okay.
Celebrating a goal in summer hockey.
Let it go.
Do you celebrate?
In summer hockey?
Yeah.
I wouldn't celebrate, but if I saw it, I'd probably laugh, so I'd let it go.
Yeah. What's your celebration on the ice when you score? Like, what's your trademark celly?
I don't think I have one. I'm not much of a celly guy.
Really? So, you don't celebrate when you score?
Not really, no.
What do you do?
I mean, I guess you act like you've done it before, maybe. I don't know. But celebrate, I like watching guys celebrate. I just don't do it myself.
The jumping in the glass, the rubbing the hand on the ice.
Sometimes. There's moments for it. I mean, when you score big goals in playoffs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's fun to watch other guys do that stuff.
Doing the wave, fans doing the wave,
mm-hmm.
Major, minor, let it go?
Oh, let it go. It's definitely, it's great. It's fun to watch.
I'm not sure, party poopers, fun sponges, take that one away. taking more than one practice swing while golfing, major, minor, let it go?
That's tough. I'd say it depends, because even for myself, minor like two, but it's really quick. And then you're quick into the swing though. So it's not like you're taking a lot of time. But I know there's some people that It's like you take two and then like they'll back off, look at their line, do a little like fancy move. So I'd say minor. Depends how much over one we get. I think two is the max. And then after that, if you don't hit the ball right away, then I'm getting a little antsy. So
it sounds like you got a pre-shot routine.
I feel like everybody does. No?
What's your cap?
I played about like an eight or so.
That's pretty good. Maximum length on a gimme putt. Just curious on that.
Putter length. And not including the grip on the putter. Yeah. So all just right. Like, I don't know, 2 feet, maybe a foot.
Okay. Milk in the bowl before the cereal.
Yeah, that's a major. I don't know who would do that.
Producer Bob.
Producer Bob. I don't know why I'm here right now. This is outrageous. Yeah, that's a wild one for me to think about even.
I've never heard of it until yesterday.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Selfie stick.
I feel like that's a major nowadays. Yeah, I don't know. You ever use one? I've never used one. I feel like they had a big moment. They had a big moment, but maybe there's some use for them, like if you had a big group, but if you're just by yourself, probably not ideal.
Congratulations on all the success. I can't wait for you to build some more trophy cases.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
That should settle it. When you have the opinion of Cale Makar talking about something as important and divisive as milk in a bowl before cereal, and he has a strong opinion on it, game, set, and match. All right. And last week we had a great interaction with producer Bob, and he was so engaged with us. You may miss him right now, but I have to be upfront with you. He's serving a one episode penalty because it was his idea to talk about milk in the bowl before cereal. And I got this quote from Whalebone magazine, and it says, and along with Cale's answer, this really locks it down. Courtesy of Whalebone magazine, people who put milk into a bowl before cereal are cereal killers. Mic drop right there. If I didn't have another interview to get to, I'd close it off right now because that's the end of it. People who put milk into a bowl before cereal are cereal killers. Don't go dark on me here. This is all about cereal. All right. Done. And Bob, I hope you have learned from your mistake. And next week, you can come back with a new attitude on this. Let's go over to Trevor Zegras. So we all know him about the Michigan, about the Zegras goal, which he didn't even score. And now we're all sitting watching Duck games every night, whether they're winning or losing, wondering, what's he going to do next? There's got to be something coming. And we go down that path with Trevor on the Chirp with Darren Millard.
What's it feel like to be a poster boy?
I mean, honestly, it was pretty cool just because I grew up kind of playing the video game, and whether it was with my pops or with all my buddies. And I don't know, I felt like it was something I couldn't pass up. So pretty cool feeling.
Did you have to approve the picture they used?
No.
You didn't have no say on that?
I don't think so. It was all them, and I think maybe we saw it, but I don't think it mattered what we said.
Did you get to influence your power rankings at all, or any of your skill levels?
I got to choose the name of my X Factor.
Really?
Yep. And I chose the Skillet Up X Factor because that's what the broadcaster made fun of me for doing in Arizona. So we thought it would be funny to make it Skillet Up. So pretty good.
Are you? Did that bother you at all?
No.
No,
it was funny. I mean, I didn't really care, but
no,
everybody else seemed to care a lot more than me, so made it pretty entertaining for a little bit.
I think it was kind of taken out of context a bit,
for
too.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
I don't think he totally meant that, but
yeah,
I'm not going to defend.
For sure, yeah.
But so, what are you working on right now?
My big thing this summer was backhand passing, so I spent a lot of time with my skills coach working on backhands.
I don't know your skills coach, but I know the backhand passing focus. I'm going to just take a chance. Is that Adam Oates?
Yep.
I knew it. Oates is known for the backhand passing thing. I sat in a couple of flights with him where he's walked me through video. I'm like, I don't even play, Adam. I don't know why you're trying to get me to use backhand. So backhand passing.
Yeah.
that seems like everybody knows how to do that, but it's actually an underused skill.
Yeah, so underused. And I think you can add so much more to your game when you can make a hard pass on somebody's tape with your backhand, whether it's power play, neutral zone, breaking out the puck. I just think it's really important, something that maybe I wasn't so good at, and something I took some time to work on this summer.
Can you do the Michigan on the backhand?
No.
Come on.
No, I can't. I need more wax before I could do the Michigan on my backhand.
Do you prepare your stick differently for the Michigan?
Really. Will you it's bring like, up I wax? Use like, it's like, it makes it like slippery, my stick.
Yeah.
So like I can stick handle faster. Because I don't like without the wax, it's like, I don't know, like the puck sticks to your blade or whatnot. So, I don't know, slippery wax, whatever that is.
Are you preparing a new skill? Be careful with this answer.
Everybody keeps asking
me that. Because we've heard rumors.
They're all rumors, because I haven't given anybody any information that I have, but...
people have watched you this summer and say that you're working on a new skill.
I'm trying a couple different things, but I don't know if I would call them a new skill. They're just like maybe things around the net that are a little different.
Oh, yeah? You're using the air quotes really good here.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. Could be good. Could be good. Could be terrible. So,
one of them is you apparently flip the puck on your blade while you're on the rush and then sling it from waist high. Have you tried that? Confirm or deny? I'm really putting you under the gun here, right? Like, you thought this was going to be fun. And
I'm going to deny that one at first, but that would be very cool.
Oh, so you haven't tried it?
I wouldn't say I haven't tried it, but I don't know if that's the thing that I'm most excited about for next year.
Can you give me any insight as to what the thing is that you are most excited about?
The toe of my stick. You like using the toe.
Really? So, all right. So there's a little bit of a hint that there's something else on
the toe. Yeah. Toe under, what is it? Utilized, is the right word?
Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think people are watching for the Michigan first now when you go behind the net?
I think so. I definitely think it's more towards the end of the season it started to get harder.
Yeah.
Guys started picking up on it. Goalies started picking up on it. I think we were playing Carolina, and I did it. And Freddie actually got his face, like, in the corner of the net, hit it right off his helmet. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
Do you apologize to him?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Skated by him. I gave him, like, a tap on the pad. I was like, my bad, dude. Like, great save.
What's he doing in that? Is he laughing?
I have no idea.
He's a pretty easygoing guy.
I think he's a pretty easygoing guy. I've only met him a couple times, but I do remember that one being pretty funny, though.
Do you think that Michigan has overshadowed you as a player?
I mean, I feel like that's all I get asked about these days, you know?
I apologize, by the way.
No, it's totally fine. Yeah. I mean, I don't mind talking about it, but I don't want to say it gets old, but I feel like it is overshadowing, like, a lot of, like, other things that I do, and I don't know, I think maybe over time that'll change, but for right now...
Well, not if you keep doing it.
Yeah.
Or if you keep inventing new skills.
Maybe I'll try and do something that'll overshadow the Michigan me. Yeah. Or something like that.
I'm going to work on the dump and chase this year. Yeah. I think that'll be really good to get...
My hard rims.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Put it on the yellow.
Off the glass and out. That'll be great. Do you feel bad that Sonny didn't get any credit for the goal that you flipped over the net?
He should have got more credit than me, because... I could flip the puck over the net to anybody, and I feel like it's a coin flip if they're going to tap it in. And he put it in the top corner like it was like the easiest thing in the world to do. And I don't know. Obviously, me and him talk a lot. I train with him in the summer, so he's a really good buddy of mine. So if I could, I would have given him all the credit, but he scored the goal. I don't know, but pretty funny.
I'll be honest. I love you. I don't know how you got the credit for that goal.
Like, me either.
Everybody always talked about that. The Michigan stuff's all you.
Yeah.
But the other one, I was like, that's Sonny's.
Sonny's goal. Tapped it out of midair and put it in the top shelf like it was nothing.
Yeah.
Ready? How is anybody ready for that play? But
work your microphone, because he's getting mad at me again over there.
Sorry. But
what are expectations for your team this year?
Yeah, well, I mean, the way we started the season last year was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, we got off to a great start, and we won, I don't know, a ton of games in a row, and obviously second half of the season, COVID and injuries and whatnot. But I think if we can kind of find that jam that we were playing with in that first half of the season and kind of just run with that, I mean, I think we'll be in a good spot.
Why'd you change your number?
It was my rookie number. I didn't have a choice. I think my first number that I was actually ever given was 52. And then I was in college, and I got a call from our equipment guy, Muggsy, and he was like, hey, we just traded for somebody. They want 52. Like, are you okay with that? I was like, give it to him. I don't want it.
Give it to him. I'll drive over there and give it
to him. Give it to him myself.
Who was that?
I think Matt Irwin?
Oh, okay.
Something like that. Oh, so God. I was like, give it to him.
Adam Foote's not in the league anymore, so he's the only other guy I know.
And then he was 52. Like, all right, like you need a rookie number, so you can choose 45 or 46. And I was like, oh, my God, it's devastating. So then I ended up going with 46. And then, obviously, like, once you play, like, a certain amount of games, you can pick your own number. And that was kind of the thing with our old GM, Bob Murray, is kind of had to earn your number, I guess. And I don't know, just didn't feel like it was my choice, 46, so mm-hmm. Went with 11.
I feel like if you get drafted at a certain level, you should be able to pick your number.
That's what I thought, too. Yeah. Me and you were on the same page.
Yeah, I feel like there's a real connection with us right now.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
Why the number now, though? Was that growing up?
Yeah, so 11, I was a big Ranger fan, and obviously Messier wore 11 in New York. Mm-hmm. I had his pictures kind of all over my room and whatnot.
Really? Still?
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe not now.
Maybe
my childhood home. Yeah, exactly.
So that would be kind of odd.
My place in California is messy everywhere. But yeah, and then the house number I lived on was 11, too. So it's kind of like a little connection, I guess. And I wore 11 in prep school. I wore 11 at the U.S. program, and it was kind of my thing. So
it's lucky that number 6 opened up. So they could do the whole transfer through.
Oh, yeah.
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 Did you have to pay anything to switch to 11?
Nope. Just, I think it was just because it wasn't my choice for 46. Mm. So I think it was, I don't know. But we're doing something where all the Ducks fans can come to the rink and 46% off an 11 jersey or whatnot. And we'll sign it. Me and Jamie were doing it, I think, on Sunday or whatnot. So.
Are you?
Yeah. It'll be good.
Was that your idea?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it should be fun. Get to see all the Ducks fans before the season, pile it in, so it'll be good.
That's outstanding. Were you worried at all about, because you get a great rookie year,
yeah,
switching numbers and the whole mojo upsetting the universe at all? Are you that superstitious?
No.
No?
Okay, I feel like, I don't know, I just kind of let things roll off your shoulders and whatnot, like number, no number, like.
Yeah, you're a pretty stressed guy, I can tell.
Yeah, I got a lot to worry about, you know?
Yeah. Have you signed an autograph with the wrong number?
I did last season when I knew I was switching to 11. I started signing everything 11. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Let the cat out of the bag early.
Exactly. But nobody.
What's the tattoo?
It's Nike. Mm. The goddess of Nike. I got a bunch. Spider.
Spider?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not putting a spider on me.
No.
Freak me out.
I love Spider-Man, so.
Oh, Spider-Man. Okay, I'm just thinking tarantula.
Black Widow.
Yeah. Screw that. I'm going to do some fun stuff with you because this has been hard hitting.
Yeah. You're grilling me.
First NHL roommate.
First NHL roommate?
Yeah.
Jamie Drysdale.
How'd it go?
It's great. He's my road roommate, and now this year we're living together. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the second time I've heard that, where roommates on the road ended up living together.
Yeah, we were supposed to live together the first year, but then he moved in with Hampus Lindholm.
So he ditched you?
He ditched me for Hampus. Which I will never let him forget.
No.
So he lived with Hampus his first year, and then I lived with one of my buddy's older brothers for a year. And then we're obviously living together this year, so it's good.
I don't know, Hampus, but that's trading down, man.
Yeah. Hampus, he had a great house, though. Jamie, he had a pool, hot tub. He had all the whatever.
All right. I'm ditching you, too. Your first NHL goal, who was it against?
Arizona.
Do you know the goalie?
Aiden Hill?
Oh,
plays in Vegas now. Was it? Oh, you don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
I was going to say it was either Kemper or Hill. I don't remember exactly which
Who'd
one.
Who'd you score your last goal against? Most recent goal?
San Jose? Reimer?
First time being benched. Do you remember that?
In the NHL?
Yeah.
Of course. Happened like every game my first year. The 5-minute mark would hit and I'd be like, all right. I'm not moving. D-zone draw. I'm coming back to the bench. My first year, so it was pretty funny.
Your first car?
Yep. BMW. Got it after my first year.
It's a good first car.
I was driving. The boys called it the Red Dragon. The team gave it to me. It was like a bright red Honda Civic.
Really?
Drove it around all year, yeah.
So it was pretty funny.
First fight at any level. Do you remember?
Never had a fight.
Never?
Well, I mean, like, a fight, no.
Fight. You never get penalized for a fight?
No.
Do you want that on your card?
Depend who it was. Hmm. You know, like, I'm probably not going to fight, like, a Ryan Reeves or, like, a Pat Maroon, but maybe, like, a Clayton Keller would be, like, a good matchup for me.
And it was prearranged.
Keep our gloves on or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Last time you danced.
I danced?
Yeah.
Troy Terry's wedding.
Were you good?
I thought I was really good, but I don't know if people there would say I was very good.
Are you a natural dancer, or do you go with the potato digger and the sprinkler and that kind of thing?
I'd say a little bit of both, you know? Yeah. I got some moves, but I got some classic moves that are staples in my game, you know?
You ever go down, like, do the hurdler stretch, the splits or anything like that?
No. That's a recipe for disaster, getting down by the floor.
How many goals are you going to score this year?
God, I hope I get a couple. That'd be nice. I love scoring goals.
Do you really?
Oh, it's way better than
Thank
assists.
Thank you. I don't understand why guys default to being passers.
There's nothing better than scoring a goal.
Yeah.
There's nothing better. Unless setting up your buddy for, like, a freebie. That's pretty good, too. But scoring goals are awesome.
Can we text all year?
All year.
Okay.
You got my number.
I know, but I don't like to bother you during the season. Trevor Zegras, thanks, buddy.
Awesome. Thank you.
No scraps. Everybody needs a scrap, at least one scrap. Just at the end of your career on hockeyfights.com, you can have that one scrap. It's right there. And I hope that Clayton Keller doesn't take offense, because we want a scrap where we're not going to get beat up. And Clayton, I think everybody could just dance with you. Just stand there at center ice and dance with you. So we're not talking about beating you up. We're not going out there. We just don't want somebody to beat us up. So that's where we're going with the scrap part of it. I'm a little afraid to go into the green room now after the kids, Zegras and Makar, were in there. Not as frightened as I was at the start of the year with Matthew Tkachuk and Jonathan Huberdeau. Boy, those guys come together from different directions, but they actually left it nice and tidy. Kids, it's a different story. So we'll let that just breathe for a couple of days before we go check it out. Got a beef for you. We had 10 new coaches in the National Hockey League this year. How is it that four teams are under coach watch already and we're 3 weeks into the campaign? That's not right. That's my beef. You can't be under coach watch with that many changes already going into the season, having somebody on coach watch now. If somebody was going to be changed, they would have been swapped out already going into this season. Now, there is one that's kind of right there and bubbling to the surface. I think you all know what that one is. And I got off to some good starts in games, but unable to finish it in Vancouver. But that's unfair to Bruce Boudreau, and I wish Bruce Boudreau all the best, because he's sitting coming into this year on 599 wins and needs it. But coach watch this early in the campaign, that's laziness, and that is unfair. I'm talking to you bunch of media people. I'm one of you on my high horse. Barry Trotz, speaking of coaches, telling the world, the Cam Strick podcast, a good podcast. I don't swear as much as them, but I like their stuff. Cam Strick, Barry saying he'd come back if there was an original six job. Well, he didn't exactly say that. The original six job would intrigue him. You know what the original six coaches are saying? Barry, come on. Why put a target on us? But it's funny, like, who on the original six teams would be available? Ooh, that's just amplified the heat even more on the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are not terrible to start, but not exactly undefeated either. So we'll keep an eye on that. I would love to see Barry Trotz back. And remember what Barry did. He took a team of stars and got them over the hump. Does that fit anybody? Look at now I'm piling on. Sorry. It's unfair to put coaches under the hot seat this early in the season. Phil Kessel, the new Ironman, passes Keith Yandel. I love it, the fact that Doug Jarvis had the record for 35 years and Keith Yandel had the most consecutive games record for 9 months. That just, it's weird how that happened. But Phil Kessel is a great, intriguing athlete, immensely talented, not what everybody would say, oh, that's your Iron Man. Look at him. Like he just lives life the way everybody wants to live. He doesn't really care about being the star of interviews and being front and center. And it's almost like Phil Kessel is a great actor, but is better known for the roles where he's the supporting actor and gets to have a presence, but doesn't like to carry a whole movie. So he's not Brad Pitt out there being the star wall to wall. He's that supporting it. Steve Buscemi is my favorite supporting actor, where he can have a presence out there, but doesn't need to be the star on the marquee. That's Phil Kessel. He does it all, but he doesn't need to be the star. And now he's 990 consecutive games and counting. That is so cool. So happy for him. Started in Toronto November 3rd, 2009. Take a moment, folks. Think about what you were doing in 2009. Bet your life's a whole lot different now. So is Phil's. And he got through it. He played that one shift in the game against Detroit. Does the streak matter to him? Of course. Went home for the birth of his child, then joined the team right away again. It matters to him. And it counts. And it's all legit. And it's really cool that Phil Kessel does it. And scores his 400th goal in game 990 after thinking they had his 400th goal the night before. I'm going down a Phil rabbit hole here, but I love the guy. I love talking to him. The closest I think he came to having the streak snapped didn't actually involve a regular season game, but it could have spilled over. In 2012, he lined up for a faceoff against John Scott in a preseason game, and there was an altercation earlier on in that game, and John Scott then came out and on the wing told Phil Kessel, as they were across from each other, and said, "I'm going to jump you." This is Phil saying, John Scott told me he was going to jump me. That could have ended the streak right there if John Scott gets a hold of Phil Kessel. Phil backed away immediately. Smart guy. Couple of hacks. Turned into a line brawl. David Clarkson, if people remember, came off the bench. He got a 10-game suspension. But that could have ended the streak right there. Instead, now he's 990 games with the National Hockey League record and counting. So good on you, Phil. Loving what you're doing, and keep on going. I hope he gets to a nice round number of 1,000, and then it's up to you. So we have a couple of things that we want to promote. One is the NHL Draft Class podcast. They had the NHL Director of Central Scouting, Dan Maher, on this week, and they're going through all the players to watch for the 2023 draft. And there's some incredibly talented players on the horizon. First and foremost is Connor Bedard. And he goes over Connor Bedard. If you haven't watched him, it's basically Connor McDavid, but even better because of the competition that he's playing, because McDavid's in the National Hockey League. But it reminds me of the same thing. Like he goes down the ice. He's so fast. He's got the skill. He's got everything happening. So Connor Bedard is a game changer for teams. A couple of clubs have lined up looking for this. Who's going to be the favorite? Well, Vancouver, as the time of this recording, hasn't won yet. I don't think that they'll necessarily be in the mix by the end. Could win the lottery, but remember, the rules have changed where you have to be in the bottom three to win that lottery. So Vancouver, I think, right to the ship, they'll be out of it. Arizona wins two of its first six on a six-game opening road trip. That's better than I thought, but they start with 20 of 24 games on the road. Arizona is going to be in the mix, and then there's a bunch of other teams. But the Connor Bedard watch right now is Vancouver, Anaheim, and San Jose. Anaheim and San Jose, could they fight it out with Arizona? Chicago, would they be in the mix? We'll see what happens. But check it out. NHL Draft Class, the podcast with NHL Director of Central Scouting, Dan Maher. He's a cool dude. Don't be a serial killer, folks. Don't do it. Put your cereal in and then pour the milk on. And don't go dark on me and don't complain. We'll see you next week and hopefully chat with producer Bob if he's off his suspension, if he's learned from his big mistake on The Chirp with Darren Millard.